Talk AM 1130 103.5 FM. Hour 3 of Justice and Drew is underway. You want to take part in the program, give us a call, 651-989-5855. We're going to be joined by Pete Hegseth in just over 30 minutes.
Yeah, we're going to talk Bannon. We're going to talk Bergdahl. We'll talk about, it's another, I don't want to say bombshell, but another revelation coming out of Comey. And when he drafted certain things prior to having knowledge of other things, we're being vague, but we'll give you all the details coming up a little bit later on. And we'll also take a viewing of the...
Maybe Pete's got a little heads up on what Hannity's...
TikTok. Yeah. We had a Kevin, friend of the show, Kevin, and emailed us because Hannity's been teasing that there's going to be something big today. It's going to be a bad day for Hillary. Another one. But a friend of the show, Kevin, had emailed us and said, you know, Rachel Maddow had those tax returns that were supposed to be a big deal and did it for a ratings boost. I wonder if Hannity is... I think what he thinks what he has is big news. The question is, you know, how big of a news is it to everybody else? Out of this talk poverty, at a time when 44% of Americans couldn't come up with $400 in an emergency, and 9 in 10 prefer economic stability and greater economic mobility, Americans aren't asking for ponies, presents, or parades, and they're really not asking for a massive tax cuts for millionaires, billionaires, and corporations. The argument here is that if it wasn't for the cost of repealing the estate tax, Congress could buy everybody in America a pony. Well, it's not everyone in America. When you actually get into the article, they're really only talking about children 8 years old, 8 years old and under.
Oh, okay. So the people that are like least equipped to care for a pony.
That's right. Okay. But they'd have the $44,800 over 10 years necessary to take care of the pony. After 10 years, I guess they'll set the pony free.
And this article contradicts itself later on. The second to last paragraph, at a time when 44% of Americans couldn't come up with $400 in an emergency, Americans aren't asking for ponies. Well, they're not asking for more taxes either.
Right.
All right. If you got a problem where Americans can't come up with $400 in an emergency, then maybe let them keep more of their money.
Well, and the fact that they use the pony argument shows how ridiculous and out of touch with reality they actually are. The fact that that's what they zeroed in. I know. I'll write an editorial talking about if it wasn't for this, you know, the cost of repealing the estate tax, this would be really clever. We could buy all 8 year old and under ponies.
Taxes should have some sort of justification to that, though, right? It's like, okay, you pay a gas tax because you drive a car. Car needs roads. Gas taxes pay for roads.
Sure.
Should be, you know, there should be some justification for every single tax, a reason why you're taxing this. But there's absolutely no moral justification whatsoever for an estate tax.
Right.
That is wealth that has been accumulated post-tax over time by an individual who has passed away and wants to pass that wealth, pass that whatever they've accumulated on to their heirs. There is no moral justification whatsoever for anybody from the government to go, excuse me, before you collect on your dead parents' estate, we need 33% of it. For what? Why? Is death now simply a taxable event?
If anybody should be getting the pony, it should be the people who just had somebody in their family pass away to make them feel better.
Right.
That's who should be getting the pony.
Exactly.
Not a good enough reason to get a pony. They're a big obligation. Just saying.
Chad, Minneapolis. Good morning.
Good morning. So, you know, listening to this discussion on estate taxes, it's really frustrating because the DFL is missing the F, the farmers.
Yeah.
Family farms that don't have a lot of money, they want to pass that farm on to their children.
Right.
And if they're lucky, the farm goes up to auction and they're able to buy a portion of it back. And it's hurting not just, you know, people with a lot of money. It hurts everybody.
Yeah.
Anybody that wants to try to accumulate wealth over their lifetime so that they can leave it to their children so they can have a better life. And it affects low-income people, too, that happen to be a homeowner that wants to leave their home to their child, and it's maybe their first home, and they got it in unfortunate circumstances, but now they have to pay tax on it.
Yeah.
I mean, it just keeps holding people back, and it hurts way more than it helps.
It's heartless and cruel is what it is.
I just think the DFL needs to start thinking about the farmers, and also the laborers, because I'm a laborer. I work every day for a living, and at some point, I'm not going to be here anymore. And anything that I can do to leave something for my children to better themselves, why should they have to be penalized after they are, while they're still grieving for their parent being lost.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what it is. It's penalizing the people that are that have just lost a loved one.
Well,
that's all it is. And they'll come at you and say, "Oh, but it's only like the most wealthiest of estates. It's not a big percentage." I don't care. I don't care how many it is. It's cruel to tax an estate when somebody passes away.
Well, and it tells you how important the argument is on the left to be able to use taxes and the arguments against the wealthy when here you have one in the estate tax that should be easy to cross, even if you're crossing party lines on. It should be an easy one to say, hey, look, on this, it is hurting individuals and it is completely unnecessary. But the fact that you have so many on the left that even refuse to relinquish that, who refuse to even say this is a tax cut we can get on board with, tells you how badly they do not want to give any inch on that argument.
Let's go to Eric. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Chad kind of nailed a lot of what I was going to say about the family farms and whatnot. I actually know somebody who's going to be going through that pretty soon. But one thing, I read an article that talked about the amount of habitat loss from those farms going away and being developed because the family members, they couldn't be passed on to them because they couldn't afford the taxes. And then they mentioned that the way that they can tax that land, it doesn't have to be at the actual value at that time as farmland. They can actually look at it as what would that land cost to develop and use that as how they judge their tax base.
Right, yeah, they judge it based on the potential value, not the actual value.
Right.
Yeah.
How much money we want to take from you, not much, not any legitimate means.
It's very arbitrary. They just make it up.
651-989-5855. All right, we know that the topic around marijuana is already getting heated here in Minnesota, especially when we look at the polling that was done during the fair, and you've got all of the candidates on the left talking about, you know, marijuana and, you know, how pro, you know, marijuana they're becoming. There's a new study that came out. There was a report that came out of the Washington Post. This story here is actually out of RT. Toke the good with the bad. Marijuana saves lives and alters brains, a new study shows. Okay, and it's coming out of Colorado. So the new study finds that the legalization of cannabis in Colorado was associated with a statistically significant reduction in opioid-related deaths.
Sounds like a good thing.
Another study shows that long-term use of marijuana changes the brain at the cellular level.
Not surprising.
Yeah.
It's a mind-altering drug.
Yeah. One of those ones where you go, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Long-term use of caffeine does the same thing. Long-term use of, of sugar. If you eat too much sugar, you consume too much sugar over the course of your life, it does the same thing.
Long-term exposure to Sam. Short-term exposure to Sam. That happens as well. On Monday, researchers at Brigham Young University, their neuroscience department, published a study that found that long-term use of cannabis depresses what they call the GABA, the cell activity in the VTA, a bunch of really technical words. Okay. Which they said was necessary. This is the important part. Necessary for reward behavior and dopamine cells critically involved in the reward signaling. Okay, so it's when the dopamine kicks in and it tells your body that you're being rewarded for something. So the researchers injected mice with
basically what they're talking about is that sort of stereotypical stoner mentality where you're just kind of apathetic,
right?
You don't care. You're That's brain mechanism to bring you pleasure for receiving any kind of reward, an accomplishment, achieving something has been depressed with long-term use of marijuana. So you're just kind of sitting on the couch zoning out.
Yeah, it's Matthew McConaughey and Dazed and Confused. Yes. Yo, you got any weed? Nah, man, I'll be cooler if you did. it's that.
Yeah.
All right. So they injected mice, with a THC. The psychoactive component in marijuana, and they found the drug triggers cellular level changes of the teenage mice, making them dependent on the drug. That's interesting. After 1 week of daily injections, they found that the THC affected the function of the neuron cells in mice, making it harder for them to reach the same high without more marijuana.
That's how all drugs work.
Right.
It's called a tolerance level. Yeah.
Mice that received only one injection did show the same changes.
Did not show
the same changes, leading researchers to conclude that persistent consumption of THC may affect the function of the brain over time. Okay, so all of this is fairly, I don't want to say common knowledge, but not unexpected. However, this is where it gets interesting. The legalization of marijuana in Colorado has led to, on a side note, according to the study, a 6% reduction in opioid-related deaths in the state.
It's an alternative to opioids.
Yep.
And it's used as such for, you know, one of the medical applications of marijuana is an alternative to opioids. We have a listener that we've interviewed on the show that's talked about it many times. He's used medical marijuana to get off of opioids, and he said the opioids were wrecking his life. They made it really hard for him to function.
From 2000 to 2013, the study claims that Colorado had seen a steady increase in the number of opioid-related deaths. According to the study, that trend was reversed in 2014 when Colorado legalized recreational marijuana. It's the first study to look at the correlation between recreational marijuana and opioid deaths. The study states that the research extends on prior studies on the potential protective effect of medical cannabis legalization on opioid-related deaths.
Right.
I'm not going to say it's going to be landmark, but as we get more data on this,
it's important.
It's very important, especially very important. When you look at the rising opioid deaths, and especially here in Minnesota.
We have an epidemic nationwide of opioid abuse, of opioid addiction, dependency, and deaths related to them, and this is a tactic that can be used to mitigate that. Is it perfect? No, but no drug is.
Right.
And every drug has side effects, and every drug is going to have some negative consequences. But there are ways that you can apply medical marijuana specifically, like they do here in Minnesota. You can take out the chemicals that get you high. And just focus on the cannabinoids that help with the pain reduction. There are ways to do that. If you don't want to smoke, you know, the plant form, there are other ways of using marijuana that can reduce the dependency on opioids.
I bet my guess is when you get more research like this and studies like this, this is the type of information that. And without, you know, forming an opinion either way, but this is the type of information where you have those who are seeking office, who are in office, who are in charge of crafting this type of legislation. This is the type of data that's going to have a significant impact. Because when you talk about, I mean, the 6% reduction in opioid-related deaths over that short a period of time just because of recreational marijuana, that's a pretty powerful statistic to try to argue against.
651-989-5855 is the phone number. We do have some calls that want to make a comment on the estate tax. We'll take those on the other side of the break, plus Pete Hegseth coming up just after 8:30.
And we'll take a quick glimpse at Hillary Clinton and her What Happened tour, which continues currently on its overseas leg. And she apparently
just one leg.
Well, she broke her leg right. too. We'll talk about that.
She's sort of hobbling through the tour.
Yeah, just like hobbling like a sack of beef.
Commonly seen sack of beef.
Sack of beef is not a thing.
You're listening.
Help change the world and have a little fun along the way. This year's All In for Africa Charity Poker Tournament is on Saturday, October 28th at 10:30 a.m. Proceeds benefit the Against Malaria Foundation. For more details about the event, go to TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com, keyword events.
That is happening at the Running Aces. Poker, by the way. Running Aces Harness Park is where that event is taking place on the 28th. I'll be playing in that tournament. Paul Fletcher from Cities 97 will be playing in it as well. We'll both have bounties attached to our head.
I might learn how to play poker just so that I can take you out.
It's not hard. It's not hard. Everybody's doing it lately.
Aw. Well, you did have a lot of good luck this summer, I guess.
Taking me out. Yeah.
No, all your luck this summer.
I did. I had a very good poker run. I had like a 7 or 8 month, you know, long good poker run where I was cashing pretty consistently. And now, yeah, that was apparently all of my poker luck was condensed in that time period.
You're like, this is great. I should go pro.
Right.
Coming up.
Fortunately, I didn't quit my day job.
Coming up in just a few minutes, we will let you know if Hillary Clinton has changed her set list as her What Happened tour goes overseas. Last hour, and a little bit this hour, we were talking about this ridiculous article out of TalkPoverty.com where they tried to make the argument that if it wasn't for repealing the estate tax, then the federal government could have purchased a pony, at least for 10 years, the cost of boarding and feeding for every 8-year-old and under in America.
Right.
That was their argument. Well, if it hadn't been for that.
Yeah, they apparently think that's a better idea than letting people actually keep the money that they've already earned and paid taxes on. Jerry in Eagan. Good morning. Go ahead, Jerry.
Hey guys. I'm going to attempt to convince Drew that his opposition to taxing inheritances might be just a bit misguided with just two words. Are you ready?
Go for it.
Mark Dayton.
Okay.
That's all. If he had been more mercifully taxed, he would not be our governor. We wouldn't know who Mark Dayton was.
You're probably right.
That wasn't two words.
And maybe that is a beneficial outcome to what is still a reprehensible concept.
All right, more to follow on that. Have a good day.
Thanks, Jerry.
We'll get good
effort.
Yeah, we'll get two more words. By the end of the week, we'll have a full sentence.
Still a reprehensible concept, taxing estates. Dom in Maple Grove, go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Hey, my take on this is probably Bill Gates and Warren Buffett do not want to leave their majority of their wealth to their kids because they already said so, saying it's going to be a problem. So apparently they probably don't give a damn about the estate taxes.
Because they hate their kids?
But Hillary Clinton might because she's not planning on leaving her wealth to anybody else but herself or her daughters.
You don't know that?
Here's the thing. Hillary Clinton's wealth is all tied up in that fraudulent Clinton Foundation, so it doesn't really matter.
We need like a Dom decoder sometimes.
I'm just going to talk about two random super rich people.
I think.
And make no relevant points.
The logic was they don't care about their kids, so they wouldn't want to buy their kid a pony. I know, the whole conversation just had me thinking about one of the first Seinfeld episodes where he makes the comment about the pony. It's like, I had a pony. They had a pony. We all had ponies. And Jerry got ostracized from the party. All right. So Hillary Clinton is continuing her What Happened tour. It's gone overseas. And, of course, the show opener.
The best part of waking up is knowing Hillary lost to Trump.
I mean, that's not her show opener, but it certainly is the opener for the segment.
Yeah, it should be.
So, first off, this is one's out of BuzzFeed. This is out of Daily Mail. Hillary Clinton hobbled away from filming a British TV show interview on crutches yesterday after breaking her toe falling down some stairs.
Woo.
Nobody got that on video? Not that I would want to see it. I'm just curious. I was just surprised. Nobody got that on video, you know?
Because it didn't happen.
You know, because
it didn't happen.
You don't think that happened? No. How'd she break her toe then?
I don't know. It's probably some
kick the wall?
Probably some other degenerative disease that she's been dealing with that just had manifesting itself and it's been in her foul toe. I don't buy that for a second, though. She was not running downstairs in heels with a cup of coffee and fell backwards. She'd be breaking a lot more than her toe if that were the case.
Can Hillary run? Has anybody actually seen Hillary run?
I have two things for you. One, I have a reason why she may have intentionally broken her toe. And two, I also have a really good conspiracy about why she's overseas. First off, though. The former presidential candidate arrived wearing a surgical boot to the BBC program, The Graham Norton Show, as she revealed she took a tumble in high heels while holding a cup of coffee.
No way she carries her own coffee. No way. I bet she's got someone, like a salaried assistant that whose only job is coffee.
The coffee farrier?
Yes. Yes. No. What? So I don't believe that for a second.
Not how that works?
Yeah, I don't believe that for a second.
The embarrassing fall forced her to pull out of a series of scheduled TV and radio appearances earlier in the day. Recalling her tumble on the Graham Norton show, she said, I was running down the stairs. Stop.
No, you weren't.
Okay, that for certainly didn't happen.
Old people don't run downstairs.
No, no.
Unless you're running from something. Maybe Anthony Weiner showed up.
She said that, or Harvey Weinscum.
Yeah. He's running away from his latest donation.
Running down the stairs in heels with a cup of coffee in my hand. I was talking over my shoulder and my heel caught and fell backwards. I tried to get up and it really hurt. I broke my toe.
This is all fake news.
She added, I've received excellent care from your excellent health service. I think she did it on purpose. because she wanted to talk about how amazing the health service was over in Europe. She probably still hasn't admitted that she's lost the election. Now, before we get to the BuzzFeed article where she equated Russian interference to in the U.S. election to something she shouldn't be equating it to, I would like to present to you a conspiracy theory. You ready?
I'm always ready for conspiracy theories.
It's a good one.
All right.
Okay, you ready? I almost want to put it on Twitter just so I can take credit for it.
We need the X-Files music.
So you kind of go, why Hillary Clinton overseas, right? She's pushing her book, What Happened. Okay, so it seems kind of logical. But what else is going to happen today? Hannity, TikTok.
TikTok boom.
Maybe she's overseas for a reason. Maybe she's overseas because she doesn't want to be in the U.S. whenever the information that Hannity is going to reveal gets revealed.
She's avoiding prosecution just like Harvey Weinstein.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a good conspiracy theory.
She's Roman Polanski it. I wonder, is she going to take her What Happened to her to Russia? She could probably sell a lot of books if she did.
Yeah.
Think about it. Seriously.
It's just with the 2 pages. It's your guys' fault.
It's a revised edition for the Russian.
Yeah, it's just your fault. Out of BuzzFeed, Hillary Clinton has said the Russian interference in the 2016 election was such on such an enormous scale that it amounted to a...
Go ahead. Cyber 9/11. She called it a cyber 9/11.
No.
What did she call a cyber 9/11?
The election. The Russian interference.
Oh, in the election.
No.
Yeah. Russian interference that still to this day is kind of vague on the actual impact that it had, right? It's still, you know, we know they didn't just hack into voting machines and change people's vote counts.
Right.
We know that.
Right.
We know that's what they were trying to convince us of early on. The Russians hacked the election. All they did was spread a bunch of misinformation through Facebook, right? That's the extent of what we know Russians did. What impact that misinformation had, we'll never know. You'll never be able to quantify that. Yet she's going to go and compare it to 9/11, when 3,000-plus people died.
Now, this is adding to this. This next line is going to add to my conspiracy, though. Clinton told an audience in London on Sunday evening before fake breaking her toe, I think there's a lot more connections that have yet to come to light.
Ooh.
Maybe she's aware of what's going to be revealed. She goes on to say, if I had been elected, I would have called for an independent commission to get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, well, you weren't. Yeah, well, you lost.
Too bad you suck, Hillary.
Yeah, sucks to suck.
She said, we had really well-respected security intelligence veterans saying that this was a cyber 9/11 in the sense that it was a direct attack on our institutions. That may sound dramatic, but we know that they probed and tried to intrude into election systems, not just the social media propaganda of their campaign.
Yeah, but they didn't.
They tried. It's
they
dramatic.
Did it.
It's dramatic, and it also trivializes one of the worst terror attacks in history.
Yeah, just a little teeny tiny bit. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't need to go there.
I mean, it's just unnecessary. That is one of the most just legitimately just in poor taste things that I've ever.
It's
heard
a horrible,
say.
Horrible thing
how
to say.
How could you ever?
And it
say
shows
that?
You just how self obsessed she is. That the Russian collusion, interference, whatever propaganda that she thinks cost her the election, she equates in her mind to 3,300 people dying in a terror attack.
Right. Yeah. Right. In her mind,
in
it
her
does.
Mind. Yeah. This
right.
is the same thing.
It's the same
I
thing.
I lost the election. Thousands of people dead. Six in one, half dozen in the other.
Well, you certainly had a lot of people in the country that were acting that way after she lost the election.
It really is a disgusting thing to say. And it's like, I don't, all the things that people say about Trump, you know, he may be everything that his critics say he is. I'm still glad he beat her because she's just awful. She's just horrible.
Clinton, who is currently on tour promoting her post-election book, What Happened?, made repeated references to the Russian intrusion, tying it to key moments of the campaign that she believes helped Donald Trump win the presidency. She just can't admit it, man. She cannot admit it. It was you. It was people don't like you. Not even in Europe. Not even overseas.
I hope nobody shows up to her stupid press tour.
Yeah, she blames everybody but herself. Everybody but herself. She talks about how crucial voters in Michigan and Wisconsin lost faith in her candidacy because of the reopening of the FBI investigation. Quote here, you've got Trump and his campaign chanting, lock her up. You've got stolen emails being weaponized. Now, you mean read?
Weaponized.
People, I mean, read by people, and then people like forming opinions about you based on what you put in those emails. Raising terrible doubts about me. A lot of people just didn't vote. A lot of people stayed at home. Yeah, and a lot of people voted for your opponent, too.
Yeah, and you know what? When you want to talk about like tangible evidence of being helped, right? You can find very little on what she's claiming. And yeah, we have a story here, and we'll talk with Pete Hegseth coming up. You know, Comey drafted the letter on the Clinton email investigation before he completed the interviews, according to the FBI. So she was being, I mean, if there was any help going on, it was in benefit of her, not the other way, not going the other direction. Oh, all right. Hey, real quick before we talk to Pete out of Fox News, just to lighten up the mood a little bit. A Miami area congressional candidate says she was abducted by aliens when she was 7, and then she was abducted again 10 years later. Now, the article was very quick to point out real aliens, as in saucer-flying extraterrestrials. They wanted to be quick to point out that everybody was sure what kind of aliens they were talking about. Supposedly took her into their spacecraft and talked to her about a series of things that would happen, she recounted on 2 TV interviews posted up on YouTube. Bettina Rodriguez Aguilera, 59, says, and they have all happened point to point. So these were prophetic aliens from another planet.
I hope this lady wins.
She's one of several candidates vying to secede. The outgoing representative in Florida said on one of the Spanish language TV interviews, which aired on America TV in 2009, the aliens were not, however, green men, little green men with antennas and buggy eyes. She told the 2 TV hosts, well, they both looked, both female journalists with long, lustrous hair, that the aliens looked just like you. So,
so they look like female journalists with long, lustrous blonde hair?
They look like humans. Maybe she did talk to somebody. Maybe she was abducted by somebody, but they were just humans.
Convinced her that they were aliens.
Did she check their immigration status when she was abducted? I think something's getting lost in translation here. I know the article wanted to point out saucer flying extraterrestrials. I think this woman who says she was abducted by aliens was actually talking about those of the illegal kind. Although she did say the aliens appeared before her and telepathically told her to walk outside.
Right, then they took her onto their spaceship.
Okay, so there goes my theory.
Yeah. Well, who knows? Maybe it was just like a Chevy Nova. You know.
Pacer.
Nah, man, it's a spaceship. She took her into their spaceship and spoke to her about events that would happen.
I have seen some of those decked out with like neon lights and like, yeah, a lot of chrome.
Right?
Right?
Yeah, maybe
it's reflective real flame stickers, yeah, big like mirrors.
A big old souped up Honda Accord.
Looks like it could have come out of Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Oh, she did say the aliens were dressed in party outfits.
She was definitely on drugs.
No, I think she got...
Maybe it was a party bus. She just thought it was a spaceship.
Maybe. Maybe they were DJs.
Right.
She says, God is a universal energy, not a person. She said,
she was at a Deadmau5 show.
The aliens told her, he's part of everything. God talks to people and they interpret what he says in different ways. In reality, there aren't different religions, there's just one. They did promise to return and said that they kept their promise. And when she was 17, they visited her a second time. The first time, though, was a direct connection, she said. So, you know what? If I were there and I could vote, she's got my vote. Right? Just for the creativity alone.
There you go.
That's right.
Yeah, I hope she wins. Uncover this giant alien conspiracy.
All right, coming up, Bo Bergdahl pleads guilty to desertion, faces up to life in prison, and Bannon enlists the evangelicals to take on McConnell, and an interesting exchange with McConnell and Trump yesterday where Trump kind of complained about Bannon getting on the Mitch McConnell bandwagon, and I'm sure that Fox News' Pete Hegseth
can sort this all out for us.
I'm going to imagine he's going to.
Justice. Well, it would have been, couldn't have been worse than you would ever know.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. Welcome back to Justice and Drew. We were talking earlier about this this TikTok boom, this Hannity teasing thing. We might have a little idea of what it was about.
We have several things that we need to talk about with Fox News, Pete Hegseth, who joins us. Thank you, sir. Good morning to you. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. Doing well.
All right. Before we drop this, let's ask you. So Hannity's been promoting this TikTok, and today is the day. There's supposed to be some sort of announcement. He has some information. Do you know what it is, or are you sitting back like the rest of us wondering what this is going to be?
I'll be watching with you guys. I have no idea.
Okay. We have some breaking news of what we think it potentially could be. I think Drew has uncovered something
here. This is from The Hill. It was posted earlier this morning. FBI uncovered Russian bribery plot before the Obama administration approved a controversial nuclear deal with Moscow. A short version of the story, I haven't read the whole thing yet, is basically before the Obama administration approved a controversial deal in 2010 that gave Moscow control of a large swath of American uranium, the FBI had gathered substantial evidence that Russian nuclear industry officials were engaged in bribery, kickbacks, extortion, and money laundering, all designed to grow Vladimir Putin's atomic energy business inside the United States. They obtained an eyewitness accounts backed by documents indicating that Russian nuclear officials had routed millions of dollars to the U.S. designed to benefit the Clinton Foundation during the time that Secretary of State Hillary Clinton served on a government body that provided a favorable decision to Moscow. Basically, the pay-for-play that we heard a number of times during Clinton's candidacy, that while she was Secretary of State, these foreign entities, foreign governments, were donating millions of dollars to the Clinton Foundation, and that in exchange, they got some favorable treatment from the Obama administration.
Were you aware of this at all, the story?
Well, we were aware of the basic contours of the fact that it's actually Hillary Clinton who had the Russia problem. Because of how much, and you know, the we'll have more flexibility after the election. It doesn't surprise me at all, because it's an Alinskyite tactic of the left, is that you deny and then you counter-accuse the very thing that you're guilty of, which is collusion or cooperation under the table with the Russians. It would not surprise me one bit if the Clinton Foundation was involved in finding a way to make millions by leveraging power to do favors for people outside of our country for purposes that elevate Bill and Hillary Clinton, and then they thought eventually their electoral prospects. So if this is true, it is the complete smoking gun of absolute corruption and Russian collusion that no one's been able to find on Donald Trump.
Well, and it fits into what many of us have been saying since the election, and that is so much of the criticism and allegations, baseless allegations that had been put forward about President Trump. You know, many of us have said all along, well, yeah, they're making all these claims because they know that's what they do. So they're just assuming that he would have gone and done the same thing. It's coming from a place of knowledge because they've been in Washington. They know how stuff is done, or at least how they've done things, and they just assume that Trump was doing or would do the same thing.
I don't even think they assume it. I think Pete's absolutely right. It's a simple, it's like Alinsky tactic 101. You go out and you engage in all sorts of wrongdoing, and then when the heat starts to get put on you, you just accuse your opponent, you accuse your political enemy, you accuse the other side of doing exactly what you've been doing, and you put them on the defensive.
That's right, and they thought Trump was an easy target because he's an international businessman who had done some dealings in Russia, you know, surrounds himself with Paul Manafort at a certain time when he was looking for a campaign mentor. That relationship had nothing to do with Russia or the Ukraine, but there were a couple of convenient breadcrumbs that they were able to take and thread together to build a picture with enough smokescreen to spin the argument away from them. But, you know, there have been enough people digging and looking into the Clinton Foundation, whether it's Peter Schweitzer's book or what the Trump campaign actually did, you know, ripping out facts and truths about the money trail of the Clinton cash. The media, of course, has never done their job on this once. The Clinton Foundation wouldn't have even been a topic in the election if the elite media hadn't been forced to look at it by people, by frankly partisans on the right who knew there was something wrong
with that relationship, and we're willing to do the investigative reporting the media no longer does. So this, we'll see. Well, I mean, the Clinton Foundation is already done. Now it's double done. And let's see Hillary Clinton answer questions about this on her Blame Everybody Else book tour that she continues to be on.
Well, and I say this, Pete Hegseth, with tongue firmly planted in cheek, but maybe there's a reason why she's overseas right now. And with all this breaking news.
it could be true, but you know what? It's been funny to watch her get some actual questions from the British press,
yeah,
who are not as in the tank as the U.S. press, who have never asked her a tough question.
All right, let's go here. Yesterday, there was this joint press conference with Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, President Donald Trump, and at the time, and looking at Gateway Pundit here, but it's been covered in several different sources, where McConnell was criticizing Steve Bannon during this press conference. McConnell also failed. What are your thoughts on this? This kind of threw a lot of people off. Bannon's been in the news quite a bit, has been, you know, giving several different speeches. But Mitch McConnell with Trump yesterday during this joint press conference, what's your takeaway?
Yeah, my take is that President Trump realizes at this point he needs both of them at some level. He would like Mitch McConnell put enough pressure on him. Bannon is a tool to do that, to actually get tax reform passed in the Senate, the last gasp of any hope that Mitch McConnell has to continue to be the leader. And then you heard him. He's not criticizing Bannon. He's merely saying, you know, he's towing the line and saying, well, maybe there's a few names that Bannon could take on or off the list. The reality is Mitch McConnell is the problem here. If Mitch McConnell had his way, we would have had Charlie Crist instead of Marco Rubio. We never would have had Ted Cruz. We never would have had Mike Lee. We never would have had Rand Paul. We never would have had a lot of the conservative candidates that now are sort of giants of conscience in the Senate. And because we were always told that these guys couldn't win. And Charlie Crist was the only one that could win in Florida. Ted Cruz, you know, too conservative. Rand Paul, too conservative, can't win. And that's never the case when you find good quality candidates. So what Steve Bannon is setting out to do is saying, let's not get a bunch more backbenchers or Susan Collins or Lucian Murkowski who are going to work against us. Let's go elect real conservatives. I think pressure is good, especially when the Democrats are lying on their back standing for nothing. If you can primary out some of these incumbents who literally are part of the problem and not the solution, I think, and then beat Democrats who are vulnerable in this election cycle, you can do a little bit of both. I just prefer standing in bold colors, watching Mitch McConnell be like, you know what the Republican Party stands for? Winning elections. We just need to win elections. It's like, well, I think we win elections when we stand for something.
Yeah.
And we haven't stood for something, and then sometimes that's why we lose. You're not standing for something right now, Mitch McConnell, and that's why you're going to lose. Don't blame it on Steve Bannon if your inability to do anything.
Well, and we all discussed last week, and even from the time in the week since the last time that we talked, you know, this idea of Trump, for lack of a better term, having cover because of the failure of Congress and what it means for those midterm elections coming up, and how those individuals up for re-election, you know, are going to face some stiff battles because they're not getting anything done in Congress. I think that's a lot of what we're seeing play out here with Mitch McConnell getting together with Trump and trying to, you know, this last gasp of trying to get something done. They see that forming and they know that it's a danger to them.
It's already formed. I think it's already there. That is already the foil for the 2018 election.
Yeah.
Look at these Republican turds who have all this power and won't pass President Trump's Republican agenda because they don't have the courage to do it, and they've swamped establishment leadership more interested in special interests than what the people sent them there to do. I think primaries can be a purifying process. And, you know, remember when they said Jason Lewis can't win in Minnesota too? He's too conservative. Can't win. Well, sure enough, he won because he stands for something.
Yep.
And I don't believe what the polls say about where he stands or where he doesn't stand. They want bold leadership that says they'll do things and then will go and actually do it. So let's have it be a referendum on Mitch McConnell. The only thing to save his scalp is a real fundamental tax overhaul. I think it's most Republican.
Oh, Pete,
he's just not going to do it.
Pete, we're kind of losing you there. You're cutting in and out a little bit. I do want to try to get a little more out of you, though, while we still have a bit of a connection. My concern going forward is that these status quo interests in Congress are so entrenched and so comfortable. Do you think that there is a faction that would be willing to even sacrifice the Republican majorities in order to protect their own personal little fiefdoms, meaning that they would gladly sort of throw the GOP agenda under the bus between now and 2018 if they think that it will if they think that it'll help them and protect them and have them keep their seats, even if it ends up costing Republicans majorities.
I think, if anything, that's the establishment side, not the conservative side. The conservative
side absolutely
wants to govern and be conservative in doing so. Yes, there's a self-preservation gene inside the swamp that supersedes why they went there in the first place, which is to get things done, which is why people who are there for 30, 40 years eventually forgot why they were there and then start talking, nipping around the margins and protecting who they are. You know, just remember that all the conservative senators that we look to today were told that they shouldn't be there and couldn't win. They're going to say the same thing about crops in 2018 and 2012. They said the same thing about President Trump. American people still want solutions. They still have common sense. And the only party with either of those two things right now is the Republican Party. So we shouldn't scrap the Republican Party, but it's time for a complete overhaul. And I think it's going to be President Trump and Steve Bannon and other conservatives that do it. It ain't going to be Mitch McConnell.
Pete, what are your thoughts, switching gears a bit, U.S. Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl could spend the rest of his life behind bars after he pleaded guilty Monday to desertion and misbehavior before the enemy. Of course, he disappeared from his base in Afghanistan June of 2009 and was held in captivity until May of 2014. He said, "I left my observation post on my own. I understand leaving was against the law." What are your thoughts on the future of Bo Bergdahl?
I think he's a traitor. I think he should be executed. Ultimately, they didn't know if they could prove that, so they went for desertion and misbehavior before the enemy, which brings a life sentence. We'll see. He won't have a trial now that he's pled guilty. We'll see what the judge sentences him to. Listen, at least six Americans died looking for this turd. Dozens, if not hundreds more, were injured. Missions were diverted. Medevac helicopters diverted. Because of his foolishness. So I have no sympathy or empathy for whatever he may have endured, and he set the precedent that one American deserter is equal to five jihad, radical Islamic terrorists. And now there's a bounty on the head of future Americans because of the actions the Obama administration took. So first was Bo Bergdahl's irresponsibility, then it was Barack Obama and Susan Rice saying he served with honor and distinction and giving his parents a Rose Garden ceremony. This is a horrible thing all the way around. Let's lock him away and make him a distant memory.
Pete Hegseth, thanks so much for your time. Always a pleasure. Look forward to catching up with you again next week.
TikTok.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
TikTok boom, Pete.
TikTok boom.
TikTok.
I'm looking at the Twitter. This is an investigative journalist, Sarah A. Carter. And Sarah Carter, D.C., and she's been tweeting back and forth with Hannity and says, "Wonder what story I'll be breaking tomorrow." This was yesterday. Hint, it has to do with Russia, something that happened in the Obama administration and an informant. Curious, stay tuned. And I think Hannity had, Hannity had tweeted out not too long ago, more coming. Watch Sarah Carter, D.C., Mueller, FBI, Attorney General Sessions, Congress, time to get to work. Mike, I don't have the story in front of me, Drew, but I'm just wondering, based off of the information that the Hill has provided down, what could be done? I mean, is there anything criminally at this point that could be pursued? If there is, why wasn't it pursued before?
Because the FBI and the Justice Department conspired, and I don't mean that in the dark conspiratorial terms, but they colluded, they worked together to not do anything about it. The Comey's FBI knew about this. The FBI knew about this. The Department of Justice knew about these kickbacks, these bribes, this extortion done by Russian agents to get a favorable nuclear deals to get their hands on American uranium to expand Vladimir Putin's atomic footprint in the United States, knew about all this and did nothing with the information. The Justice Department, now we have a new Justice Department. Now we have a new new head of the FBI. So, yes, I think that it's absolutely possible that there could be some action taken by the Trump administration and by the FBI on this.
So
I've been sort of skimming through the article when I've had a moment to glance at it. I haven't really read it all in depth. It's very long. There's a lot of information in here. They have copies of the affidavits. They have copies of plea deals that are embedded into the article that's going to take some time to get through this. But this is stunning information.
Well, think about it just from a, and we're getting ready to wrap things up, but think about it just from a basic level. of all the conversation, all the criticism, all of the left hammering of the Russia collusion. We need to have, you know, we need to have, he needs to be impeached. We need to have investigations and all of it. If this all comes to light and is true, it just nukes everything. Because that was all just assumption and baseless accusation. This is looks to be like it's tangible and just destroys any argument the left would have had.
It's amazing. We will get into more of this on tomorrow's show for sure, once we are able to sort of read and digest the whole thing.
Remember, use that hashtag, Tim Hortons TCNT, your opportunity to have us bring you and your office coffee and treats from Tim Hortons on Thursday.
We're going to pick a winner after the show today. We will keep an eye on Twitter. We'll announce the winner on using the hashtag TCNT, and then get us your information. We'll see you on Thursday.
Bye.
He's like McGregor, he's got no legs left.
I'm Chris Addison. Here's a